With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, it's Bobby Sylvester, host of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Here's a quick note from today's sponsor before we begin. I've been telling you about this daily fantasy app, Draft, and they found a way to make daily fantasy even more enjoyable by letting you draft your teams in a snake draft like the ones we do at the beginning of our season-long leagues. You can do drafts whenever you want, and the teams only last for 1 week, so if you have a bad week, that's all right, do it again next week. It only takes a few minutes to complete, and it's an absolute blast. On Draft, you can play for free, you can play for real money, and get this, your chances of winning on Draft are almost 200% better than your chances of winning playing salary cap daily fantasy. I just did another draft on my phone and boldly drafted Thomas Rawls with a 6th pick in the first round. Join me for my next draft by downloading the Draft app now. Just search Draft in the App Store. It'll come up first. And be sure to enter the promo code FANTASYPROS when you download. You'll get a 100% deposit bonus. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word. All right, on to some football. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester. I've been really looking forward to today's rankings episode because for the first time this year, Sean Corner of Stats.com is going to be our guest. For those of you who don't know, we run an expert accuracy competition where we compare the rankings of over 140 experts to determine who's actually the most accurate. Not only is Sean just completely dominating this season with top 10 finishes near every week and a huge lead over the other 140 experts for the season, but Sean finished number one in 2015 and number two 2 years ago. It's safe to say we have the most accurate football expert on the planet here with us today. Sean, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. What a great intro. I'm honored to be on finally.
So I set my week 12 rankings for the first time this morning, and I was really happy to see we have some agreements, but there's also some players that you're really high on or really low on that just kind of have me puzzled. I've got to say, though, I'm fully prepared to be changing my mind as you shed some light on what you were thinking for this week. So you ready to begin?
Yeah, of course.
So, Sean, usually at this point, we just jump right into the rankings. But because this is kind of a special show with the most accurate expert, I've got to understand your methodology. Now, obviously, you're going to be changing it through the week. We're going to be getting more clarity on all these injuries going on. And so people can kind of follow along. Where can they find your rankings?
So we actually offer high-end professional services. So what I like to do is also I've been posting every Wednesday or so my tiered rankings, and then anything that you want to ask from there, you can always reach out to me at the Odds Maker on Twitter. But yeah, I've been trying to create more free content for the more general public, because there's been a lot of people asking how to find them. But right now we mostly offer professional services, so it's more of a high-end service.
So when you start for the week, do you start with you use the platform, the expert platform? Do you start with the expert consensus rankings and then just kind of go from there based on the matchups you're seeing? Or do you have your own spreadsheet that you just upload and it's completely different from what everyone else is saying?
Yeah. I mean, I do start with expert consensus, but I paste over it immediately. I have a spreadsheet that I paste everything. So I really organize everything in my spreadsheet. And kind of going back to what you were saying, my process is pretty thorough. This early in the week, though, I'm kind of more just, you know, working with generalized game flow and mapping out how each matchup's going to play out. I tend to look at it a little bit backwards. I kind of see myself as having, you know, bad rankings to start. And then throughout the week, I'm fine-tuning them, and I'm constantly trying to prove them wrong. It's sort of a scientific approach of not doubting them, but, you know, using every piece of information I have to fine-tune everything and make them better. So my goal is to basically have them perfect by the time Thursday game starts or, you know, the Sunday morning game start.
That's very interesting. So you're just like plugging away throughout the day. Every time you read a bit of news, you adjust your ranking slightly. I need to start doing that.
I have a lot of statistical methods I'm using too, so I'm refining some things. And football is such a short, small sample size sport. You have to look between the numbers quite a bit. So I try not to rely solely on math, but I do a lot of statistical methods to kind of prove, you know, what stats we can consider consistent, reliable versus what's luck. You know, a touchdown is so huge in fantasy football, but you know, in reality, it can be a bit lucky. So I'm always trying to filter through and trying to find what can be, you know, relied on for that upcoming week.
Absolutely. And it can be unlucky the opposite way. I mean, we saw Marquise Lee. He keeps getting all these targets and he finally got a touchdown, but no one was really giving him any credit because he wasn't scoring touchdowns.
Exactly.
If you keep getting targets, there's a lot of these guys. If you keep getting targets, Jordan Matthews, which I want to talk about later, is just getting a ton of targets. Fifth most targets in the NFL over the past 4 weeks. And this is a great matchup for him this week. So he's going to get in the end zone. He's going to get his yards. And touchdowns just aren't a reliable metric to use as predictive.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully Ryan Matthews won't be playing this week, so Jordan can get a higher touchdown share. That's a lot of what I have going on. I have the entire team projection is all dependent on one another. So, you know, if Ryan Matthews is out, that will actually increase my Jordan Matthews touchdown percentage quite a bit. So I'm kind of with you there. If Ryan Matthews' MCL sprain or if it's a tear or whatever is pretty serious, I think that'll actually help Jordan Matthews out.
So are you not that big of a believer in Wendell Smallwood? I mean, from what I've seen this season, I understand Ryan Matthews has a lot more history, but Smallwood looks pretty good. He looks like he can do about the same behind that offensive line. And I know they're missing their backup right tackle now, so that's going to make a difference. But I think Smallwood, if they get him, you know, 12 to 15 carries, maybe he'll be just as impressive as Matthews.
Yeah, I was actually a pretty big DFS college football guy while they offered it, and I remember taking Smallwood quite a bit, and he definitely has the tools to be an every down back. I think if Sproles is out, that might help him out quite a bit too. You know, he could definitely rack up some catches if Sproles is out. He's definitely in play in PPR if Sproles is out, even if Matthews plays. The only thing I'm concerned about is, you know, we've seen it before. If Matthews, let's say he's a little banged up, but he's active, and he can only play like 8 snaps and still get 2 goal line vulture touchdowns. So I'm a little hesitant to be buying in too much Smallwood this early in the week. But obviously, if Sproles and Matthews are out, you know, I'm going to have him as the RB1 for sure.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so let's talk about quarterbacks now. And I'm comparing your rankings to the expert consensus rankings just to kind of get a feel of which guys you're higher on than the majority and which guys you're lower on so that we can understand, you know, the players you're most passionate about at this point in the week. We'll start with Russell Wilson. Now, the ECR has him at 3. You've got him all the way down at 9. What are you seeing with Russell Wilson that maybe you're not buying into the hype that others are?
Yeah, Russell Wilson's interesting QB this week. I tend to have him a little bit lower for now because I can't really project him for over 15 rushing yards right now. Although last week he did have that 15, 16 yard receiving touchdown. So something tells me his knee is getting a little bit better. So throughout the week, I might be boosting him quite a bit. With him, you know, the value comes in his legs and the additional rushing stats are huge with him. But also, you know, Tampa Bay is they're a pass funnel defense, so I'm probably going to have him a little bit higher towards the end of the week. Also, the difference between my QB2, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson at 9 is 0.7 points. So I think,
wow.
Yeah, 2 through 9 this week is just going to be pretty volatile. So there could be a lot of shuffling around. So it's not going to take much. It, like I said, if I confidently give him, say, 5 rush attempts this week, he could jump up to, say, 3 pretty easily. Just for now, I can't confidently do that. So that's probably why he's so low for now. But like I said, I do update my rankings quite a bit throughout the week. So you might have convinced me on him.
I was a little bit shocked, actually, when I saw Russell Wilson all the way up at 3. And I just updated my screen. It changed from 3 to 4 in the past 15 minutes. So experts are starting to come down on Russell Wilson just a little bit. The thing about him is everyone's looking at his 8 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. And they're thinking, yeah, this is going to keep up. Finally, he's going real well. But if you look at his touchdowns, 5 touchdowns over the first 7 weeks of the season, I think he's due for some regression. He's not throwing the ball that much. He's throwing the ball about 28, 29 times per game. And that's probably going to continue at Tampa Bay this week. So, I'm not so sure about him being that high. I've actually got him a little lower than you, too. But all the way down at 9 is interesting. It's especially interesting that they're that close in fantasy points. I think it makes sense. It's an interesting week.
Yeah, I think it's interesting as well. This time last year, I continually thought Wilson would regress a little bit, and he just got better and better and threw more and more touchdowns at Doug Baldwin. So this could be a repeat of last year. So be very careful about that. And Pete Carroll did say coming in this week, they've kind of had, they've been kind of holding him back a bit. But, at New England, we saw him erupt for 350 yards passing. So I think they are a little more confident in him just airing it out the rest of the season. And this is a good spot. So, even though I have him like a minus 6 ECR right now, I'm probably going to be moving him up as the week goes.
Now, this is the one that intrigues me the most. Tyrod Taylor right now is number 15 ECR. So not startable in normal leagues, 10, 12, 14 team leagues. Unless, obviously, he's your best option. You're in a crummy situation. But you're the highest expert on him at this point in the week, all the way up at number 7. You think Tyrod Taylor is a lock to be started right now. Can you explain what you're thinking against Jacksonville, who's been pretty good against the pass so far this season?
Yeah, it's all rushing stats, honestly. Right now, I have him projected for 190 passing yards. So I don't think they're going to attack them through the air. With Robert Woods out now, I essentially have about 5 to 6 pass catchers all projected at 2 catches for 30 yards. So I wouldn't, for DFS sakes, I wouldn't really pair Tyrod Taylor with anybody. Sammy Watkins could return this week, which will help, but I wouldn't see him playing any more than, 25 snaps. I think this is a good matchup for him to bust a big run. I have him projected around 45 rushing yards. And a good bet for a rushing touchdown. And that goes a long way. He's kind of meshed in that group also of guys that I just have basically this massive QB1 tier. And he's lumped in there right now with pretty poor pass projection. So I think against his Jags defense, like you mentioned, they do shut down the pass, even the tight end. So I could see him running around a little bit more. And, if LeSean McCoy's out, that might make things a little bit tougher because they could just key in on him. But, right now, I think he's going to get it done with his legs.
It's really easy for us to just sit back and say, well, Jacksonville's pretty good against the quarterback position. They're good at stopping the pass. So obviously it's not going to work well for Tyrod Taylor. But, that does not really account for rushing quarterbacks. I don't know if I've really thought about that very much, but it's insightful. It makes a lot of sense. And I'm bumping Tyrod Taylor up in my rankings right now, as you mention it, because I had him buried down there. I had him at number 16, right by ECR, just because Jacksonville, Jalen Ramsey, I'm a big fan. Miles Jack is a great in coverage at the linebacker position. And you sold me, man. Good. That's good.
That's what I'm here for. And like I said, I do think he might be a bit shaky on the passing end, but they should control the game. They're a touchdown favorite. I just see just so many design runs for him would be the best way to attack this defense.
Now, Carson Wentz is a player that I am very different from you on at this point in the week. Carson Wentz right now, well, we know he's going up against Green Bay, who's been a disaster. They're missing Sam Shields, Demaryius Randall, It is really ugly what they have going on right there. ECR has them at 18. I have them bumped all the way up at 12, 13. And you know, against Green Bay, I would start anybody. I would start Trevor Siemian maybe. And I've been telling people to start him. Now tell me why you think I'm wrong this week.
You're not wrong. I mean, he does have a great matchup, and I feel like it kind of got burned the other week against the Falcons. I mean, that was a great spot for him, and he kind of got vultured by Ryan Matthews. So I just don't think of him as a guy, kind of like what we see. We have, you know, Goff facing the Saints, and then, you know, the Bears have a good matchup against the Titans, but you can't play Barkley. I think this is another situation where Wentz, you know, they're going to want to control the time of possession. They're going to want to, you know, keep a lead. I just don't see him airing it out as much as I think we'd hope. Obviously, if this game gets in a shootout, he's going to be a great play. And if Ryan Matthews is out, I think they could lean on him a little bit more. But like you said, the Green Bay defense is just a mess. So you definitely want to target them. I just think of Wentz as kind of a guy they don't want to get in a situation where he's airing it out too much. So he's kind of a guy I am a little hesitant on, just because of the game flow that the Eagles want to have doesn't really bode his way so much. But, you know, there's a huge QB2 tier this week where he can be going up and down that in my rankings. But like you mentioned, that's a great spot for him this week.
You know, Carson Wentz, I'm looking at his stats. He has not had over 17 fantasy points since week 3. Dak Prescott's done that every single week since week 2. But, you know, the stat that really stood out to me about Carson Wentz, and it surprised me when I saw it, it was the reason that I bumped him up. Green Bay is a big reason, but this is the main reason. Since week 8, he's thrown 43, 47, 36, 45 pass attempts, and that was against Seattle. So I don't know why, but Doug Peterson has all of a sudden decided he's going to start throwing the ball with Carson Wentz. And I think against Green Bay this week, maybe we'll see that a number back up over 45 again.
Yeah, and I would say I'm definitely tying him very closely with Ryan Matthews' status. I think with him, he's had the passing stats, not really the rushing stats I would hope at this point in the season. You know, Peterson said they want to design more runs for him, and I just haven't seen that. But he's been getting it done in the air, just like I said. They get down to the goal line, and it's Ryan Matthews' vulture time. So if he's out this week, that's definitely going to bump up his pass touchdown projection for me. So I think right now I have the projections assuming Ryan Matthews is playing. So, you know, he's another guy that's only going to go up if someone like Matthews is out.
Now, a player that I'm lower on, Derek Carr, he's number 9 in ECR, face Carolina at home this weekend. And I don't have him in my top 12. I have him at number 13. Where do you have Derek Carr this week?
Right now I have him at 12. So he's just on the cusp of the QB1. With, you know, we don't have any buys this week. So that's, you know, that's saying a lot. So I probably have him higher than most. But this is definitely a pass funnel matchup. I think this is a big Amari Cooper week. You know, the Carr-Cooper combo is something I'm going to have quite a bit of in DFS this week. I'm hoping it goes a little low-owned. But I just think this is a great spot for him. And he has the right mindset. If you saw the interview after the game, you know, they're 8-2, the number one seed right now. He's not letting it get to him. He's you know, one of my favorite QBs right now. He's just such a good leader. And I don't think, you know, he's going to overlook any team. And this is a great passing matchup for him. So I think he's going to attack them through the air.
Yeah, the three things that really stood out to me with this, the reason I'm lower on Derek Carr than most is that, you know, he's coming off a shorter week. He played on Monday night. Over his past 5 games, he's thrown 34, 37, 31, 31, and then 59 in that shootout of a game where he had 513 passing yards. And in those games, 12, 12, 7 fantasy points, 3 out of 5. And so that's just kind of concerning to me. So I'm looking at the ECR having him so much higher, and I was just thinking maybe they know something that I don't. Carolina's defense has been more impressive lately too. So I've got a couple guys slid up there ahead of him, and I'm telling people, you know, if you have a better option, there's a couple guys. I would even start Carson Wentz above Derek Carr. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, it's just one of those weeks.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty tight. So this is a week where, you know, this early on, it's really tough to peg where guys are. So I'm hoping there's some more clarity on some of the injury situations. I think that's going to have a bigger impact this week than most.
Let's move over to the running back position. And this is one that I saw you were talking about last week, Isaiah Crowell. You were pretty fond of him. ECR this week, expert consensus rankings, has him at number 32. So not startable, even in a flex league, a standard flex league. You've got him this week up at 21. And what I read last week, what you were talking about, that sold me. So I'm high on him this week too. Tell us why you believe in him.
I mean, I don't want to be like the Crowell whisperer, like he's my guy. But, you know, with the projections, he is technically the goal line back. Unfortunately, you know, the Browns don't create too many goal line situations. But, you know, I like having Josh McCown back. I think they're going to move the ball a little bit better this week. The Giants defense, you know, is not something I'm keying in on. But the thing that I like about the Crow is he's being way more involved in the passing game, almost to, you know, Duke Johnson Jr. owner's chagrin. But, you know, when a guy like him is getting more involved in the passing game, it sort of makes him a little more matchup proof because they're obviously going to be a team that's trailing most of the time. So if he can stay on the field in passing situations, it's going to help raise his floor a little bit. And I think the touchdown possibility is always there with him. You know, it's never too great with that offense, but I do like him for a decent chance at a score this week. Call me crazy, but, you know, I don't really have too bold a projection for him. He's just kind of middle of the pack RB2 for me. So I think people might be overlooking his touchdown chances a little bit.
Here's the thing I really like about Crowell this week is a lot of times people like to talk about, you know, running backs coming off the bye, their bodies are all rested up and everything. How about running backs before the bye? Why not just run them into the ground a little bit more than usual, knowing that they're going to have a full week to recover from that? I think that's something that we see NFL teams do regularly, and I think it's going to happen with Crowell this week. Now, the Giants, they're really good at shutting down the big plays. So Crowell, who, you know, we've seen him break those big runs, it's probably not going to happen this week, but he keeps getting the volume in the passing game, then yeah, I think he's a reliable player to start this week.
Exactly. I mean, he hasn't topped 10 carries last 3 weeks, and I think they might game plan to fix that a little bit. So this could be a get right spot for him where, you know, they try to definitely establish the ground game a little bit earlier on and get him touches. So with him, I'm not looking at his most recent game log so much, other than the fact that he is being involved in the passing game. Something like that can carry over a little bit more than something like his low rush volume. So I'm not being too scared away from that. But you know, I don't love him, but he's definitely in the RB2 discussion, at least for me.
Now, I've been waiting for Jerick McKinnon to have this breakout game all season. He's got the ability, obviously, but this offensive line is terrible. So why are you a believer in McKinnon, maybe starting him in 12, 14-team leagues with flexes this week?
Yeah, I think last week you saw with the 16 carries, they're trying to make him more of the workhorse. And, you know, they dropped Ronnie Hillman, so that's over with. You don't need to worry about him anymore. With him, you still have to worry about Matt Asiata vulturing any remote goal line carry. So that's why I'm not a little bit higher on him. But I think we see him, you know, get 50 rushing yards and 10 receiving yards this week, which has him at a pretty high-end RB3 flex for me. But I just love the boost in, you know, his rush attempts. It was against a very tough defense in the Cardinals. You know, they're great all the way around. So, you know, this week at Detroit, I just like his volume to carry over from that. And Asiata is not the guy. They can't be giving him 10-plus carries a game, so that they're going to have to start relying on McKinnon a little bit more. So, yeah, I like him a little bit this week. I don't like his touchdown prospects because of Asiata, but with Hillman being gone, I'm hoping they incorporate him a little bit more in the passing game. So I think he's looking up right now.
I sure hope you're right. I've been stashing him on my bench just because I know he has so much upside, and I refuse to start him until he proves that he can actually like get in the end zone and get over 60 yards. But I'm in love with the upside. I can't wait to see what he can do next year when I think AP is going to be gone and when they address their offensive line issues and they get healthy there. I think he can be a real stud. So I'm hoping you're right. I hope it starts this week, and I'll be watching that one. I'm real curious about it. So now I want to talk about LeGarrette Blount. Now I see you've got him all the way down at 25, so kind of a fringe start in standard 10-team leagues. Why are you low on Blount? Is it with Deion Lewis coming back, or what is it?
Yeah, I mean the Jets is another defense where that's a pass funnel situation. They're pretty decent stopping the run, so I think, you know, they just let Brady go to town. I still like Blunt's chances of any goal line work, so he's always in play at, you know, picking up a touchdown or two. But yeah, I mean he's never involved in the passing game, so that kind of hurts him if the game flow is set up to be more of a pass friendly, you know, matchup like it is versus the Jets. I'm a little more bullish on the pass catchers in this game as opposed to the Blunt. Last week was definitely a Blunt game. I stayed away a little bit with the Brady narrative. I was actually at that game. So I was happy to see Blunt get held out of the end zone the game. But I think, again, this matchup this week sets up better for Brady and the pass catchers.
I've got to ask you, Sean, do you put any stock into the weather? I mean, I saw the wind was blowing 25, 30 miles per hour last week, and I changed my rankings accordingly. And Kirk Cousins still threw for all those touchdowns. It didn't matter with all the wind, but I would think it's near impossible to complete a longer pass in the wind, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember, these guys are professionals. So even with the high altitude, I think I overestimated someone like Lamar Miller being able to handle 20-plus carries. So I had him at about minus 9 ECR, so I messed up there. So, you know, he's a little more in shape than me. So I definitely overrated the 7,500 feet above sea level. But I think people do that. You know, there are certain situations. I think this week there definitely was enough inclement weather to really affect certain teams. Like, we saw that a bit with the Steelers, of course. But, you know, I just think there isn't so much evidence behind the weather affecting it. It's more about the game plan. If the coaching staff, you know, they're going to run the ball a bit more in the rain, it has a little bit more of the game planning itself as opposed to, you know, the wind really messing up a deep ball. Like you said, Cousins did fine because there are certain times during the game where the wind might let up a little bit, or it's coming from a direction that favors the quarterback. So I think you have to take it with a grain of salt when you're, you know, adjusting projections too much based on the weather.
You know, Sean, even with the mistake with Lamar Miller, you'll be happy to hear I just got the accuracy results from this week. I'm going to be writing the article pretty much right after this show. And you finished number 6 for running backs this week, even with the Lamar Miller issue. Now, you were number 31 overall, which out of 140 is great, but it's probably your worst week of the season.
Oh, man.
And Jake Seeley was up at number 4, so he's making up a little bit of ground on you. He still has a long way to go, but even with the Lamar Miller, number 6. And now for the season, you're in the top 10 for running backs, top 10 for wide receivers, top 10 for tight ends, number 14 for quarterbacks. So you're doing it at every position. Congratulations, man. That is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm usually very pessimistic at my prospects going into the accuracy results, just because I'm just noticing guys I missed on. But I guess I did have Robert Kelly pretty high. So, you know, I tend to overlook my gains. I'm usually just focusing on the guys I missed on. But I know Lamar Miller, I definitely overrated the elevation factors. That really stings.
Now, Latavius Murray for this week, ECR has him number 22. So, you know, just inside startable, he's a solid flex play. You seem to disagree at this point in the week. You have him at number 26. What's your opinion on Murray this week?
Yeah, like I said, I think this is more a passing situation for the Raiders. The Panthers are pretty good at stopping the run. I don't know, with Kuechly being out, if I'm going to be changing that at all. But, you know, we saw Monday night that this is a true running. It's a four-headed running back monster that the Raiders have. It's one of the most frustrating teams to project week to week. I can never really bank on his volume. So, you know, since I'm relying on my models, he can never get too high up there. Because, like we mentioned earlier on the podcast, he depends a little bit more on touchdowns than your average running back. And he's not necessarily the guy that will be guaranteed goal line carries every week. They, you know, they tend to mix it up all the time. The Raiders are pretty frustrating on who they pass touchdowns around. They're just a headache. So I'm usually pretty low on Murray, and if he has those huge weeks, so be it.
Yeah. There's one more player that I just can't make up my mind on, so I'm hoping you can talk me into it one way or the other. Tevin Coleman's back. Now, he's been he started practicing. He says he feels 100%, but he gets Arizona this week. He was getting less carries the final 2 weeks before he was injured. So I'm wondering, what do you make of him this week?
It's just a tough spot to be coming back. You know, Arizona is really good at stopping the run and the pass, so it's not the greatest matchup for him. I'll be looking for reports on, you know, how much they're going to ease him in. I don't think he's going to return to his role of, you know, having 6 to 8 carries and 3 to 4 receptions. Right now, I kind of have him more in the 5 to 6 carries with 2 catches. So, you know, I may need to hear a little better news coming up to make sure that, you know, they're not going to just let Devontae Freeman have another week of being a true workhorse. So, yeah, I'm a little down on Coleman right now.
All right, moving over to the wide receiver position, I want to start with Tyler Boyd. He's a player that everyone's talking about this week, obviously with A.J. Green out and Andy Dalton throwing the ball to Tyler Boyd so much. He goes up against Baltimore. Baltimore's been a very good defense again this season. What's going to happen? Is Jimmy Smith going to come back and shut down Tyler Boyd? He plays a really physical game, which would be tough to be a rookie, a slender rookie like Tyler Boyd. Or is Boyd going to really excel here? ECR has him at 39. How high do you have him?
I have him down at 52 right now. I do not like the Bengals this week. I think people will kind of flock to the people that should benefit from this, but this is not the best matchup for the Bengals. You know, with A.J. Green and Bernard out, a lot of people are going to be all over Jeremy Hill and Eifert. But, the Ravens shut down the run and tight ends. So I think they're kind of a perimeter wide receiver pass funnel type defense. And, you know, Boyd, he does run a lot of his routes on the inside. I don't know if Smith is going to be shadowing him. We're going to have to find out. He could be on LaFell. This is one of the toughest weeks to be projecting the Bengals. I was looking at James Wright. He is a guy that I wouldn't start in season long, but something like, you know, a DFS dart throw, he could be an interesting guy. I think he's going to play pretty much every snap lining outside. You know, they could, you know, key in on Eifert trying to, you know, contain the middle of the field with Weddle and leaving James Wright or Brandon LaFell with some huge 80-yard touchdown. So I'm going to be kind of keying in on the perimeter wide receivers that people might be overlooking. I just think the Ravens defense is pretty much set up to stop what the Bengals traditionally like to do. So they're a situation I'm just trying to avoid altogether. I think if you have Eifert, you play him, but the Ravens, they're one of the best tight end defenses out there. So I think they're going to read Cincinnati pretty easy this week. And, you know, I'm just downgrading Dalton and all the pass catchers all the way around.
Now, this Green Bay game, you've got 3 of their wide receivers quite a bit lower than ECR. You've got Jordy Nelson 4 spots lower, Devontae Adams 16 spots lower. ECR has him at 27. You have him at 43, so well out of the starting range. And then finally, Randall Cobb, you bumped him down 9 spots to number 40. Why are you low on the Packers' pass attack this week?
Yeah, they're interesting. It feels like I'm like extreme one way or the other with them. Just a couple weeks ago, I had 4 of their wide receivers in the top 10, and I was way above on everybody. And now this week, I'm way below. I just think this week, the Eagles, kind of what I mentioned before, they're going to try to control the time of possession at home, which they do really well. Again, they kind of need Ryan Matthews healthy to do that. But I think they can seriously cut into the Packers' play volume this week. So I think when it comes to my projections, I'm just downgrading the Packers' play volume all the way around, and it's cutting into the passing attack. They're kind of a tough group to really, highlight one guy to like. I kind of just, you know, lump them all together somewhat. So it's something to look out for. And I don't know, maybe I'm higher on Cook this week, or people didn't adjust up for him, but he took a more prominent role in the passing attack against the Redskins. With Christian Michael being active this week, I think they might try to be more of a balanced attack as opposed to having just Rodgers fling it around 50 times a game. So I just think that their approach this week is going to change a little bit that doesn't, you know, feed every single mouth on that passing attack.
How many touches are you thinking Michael's going to get this week?
Oh, man, I think they can have enough plays packaged for him to get him around 6 to 8 carries. I don't really see him being involved in the, you know, passing game at all. But, you know, for someone like him, they can package together some pretty simple design run plays, which I think they're pretty desperate to do at this point. I don't think Starks is the answer. I could see them having Starks sort of be their third down back, kind of replacing what Ty Montgomery was doing, and just try to get this offense to be more of a balanced attack, because they personally have to kind of keep their defense off the field too. So they should probably start taking more of the approach the Cowboys or the Eagles try to have, you know, sort of work on the clock and keep the chains moving, because they have to get the defense, you know, keep the defense on the sideline. So I think this could be an interesting matchup where both teams sort of, you know, try to eat away the clock, and it's a little bit less of a shootout than people are anticipating.
Now, the one player, the wide receiver that we're disagreeing on the most at this point, you're probably going to change my mind here in just a second, is Jamison Crowder. Over 100 yards, 3 out of the last 4 games, 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games, and you've got him lower than ECR. I've got him higher than ECR. You've got him down at number 36, and I'm at 25. So tell me what I'm missing here.
Yeah, again, this is more of tied back to my game flow and projected plays. If the Cowboys are going right, which they should this week, I think they'll lead most of the game. If they're going right, they're going to try to kill the clock, and they really limit the number of plays the opposing team has. So a team like the Redskins that has so many pass catchers, and this isn't a knock against their passing game at all, but, you know, they have Crowder. DeSean Jackson seems to be healthy now. Pierre Garçon and Jordan Reed. That's just a lot of mouths to feed. So
even
I don't.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah, Vernon Davis with his 2 catches for 60 yards is coming up once again. So, you know, they do have enough passing yards and attempts, and they're competent enough to feed all these mouths. But a matchup like this really scares me, where, you know, the Cowboys could eat away enough clock that really limits them to 1 to 2 less drives than they normally would on a given week. So someone as subtle as that can lower them quite a bit, as you'll find in my rankings. But I do like Crowder long term. He's definitely grown into the wide receiver I thought he could be, and, you know, I do like the matchup. It's just the projected amount of plays is definitely impacting my projection this week.
Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, some wide receivers that you're higher on than the expert consensus this week. We've got Mike Wallace that you bumped up 10 spots from 35 to 25. Cameron Meredith, 14 spots from 45 to 31. So you think he's startable. Everyone else thinks he's, you know, kind of on the outside, even in deeper leagues. And then Will Fuller, who you bumped up 24 spots, which I'm really fond of because I've got him bumped up 13 spots. And I'm hoping you'll validate me here. So what is it you see in these three this week?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the most interesting one is Meredith. I mean, with Barkley being quarterback this week, I really don't I have them projected for 200 passing yards this week. So I don't like the Bears offense so much. So I had Meredith how many spots higher?
14 spots higher.
Wow, yeah. I mean, and Zach Miller's out. So, you know, I'm not really projecting Meredith for much. Like 4 catches, 55 yards, you know, pretty dicey touchdown odds. But the ball is going to have to go somewhere. And I think I could see Barkley keying in on Meredith. It's really anyone's guess, but that's a pretty volatile guy to have. But he should get enough targets to warrant grabbing 4 catches. And I think he's squarely in play as a wide receiver 3 still against this Tennessee Titans defense that's been getting shredded lately. I just don't think they're set up to attack with Matt Barkley. But I'm still giving him enough volume that I don't know where else it can go.
He was getting so many targets until Jay Cutler came back, and he's got 3 receptions since week 7. It's just absolutely nuts. But yeah, with Barkley in and Zach Miller out, I can definitely see that one. Now tell us a little bit about Will Fuller.
Yeah, Will Fuller, he came away from the game unscathed. They say he's pretty much healthy now, so his leg injury seems to be a thing of the past. Again, relying on Osweiler to give him the ball is not something you want to rely on, but you know his skill set's there, and I don't think they want Braxton Miller to be the guy out there running most of the snaps. So I think they give Fuller the complement of snaps this week, and you know he has the talent to just put up a massive game. We just haven't seen that lately. It's a spot that you know it's hard to trust him too much, but you could do worse as your wide receiver three. I still think the talent's there, and I'm just going down with the ship with Osweiler. I don't know what it is. He's obvious, his confidence is shot, but I think he had some spark last night. He's a guy that could surprise as the season goes, and you know Will Fuller's going to be a huge part of that. He really needs Fuller to catch the ball. That's Fuller's problem is, you know, he just drops it so much. But as he gets better as the season goes, I think he could be a sneaky starting this week.
Bill O'Brien has worked with some really good quarterbacks in his career, and now he has Brock Osweiler, who's got all the physical skills, and he's just not putting it together. So I'm sure there's a lot of pressure going on there with O'Brien just saying, like, what in the world are you doing, Brock? But, if Brock puts it together, he can be more than a mediocre quarterback. He's got some serious talent. He's got DeAndre Hopkins. I think Will Fuller's going to have a nice NFL career if he can stay healthy. I'm curious to see if he can turn it around here in the second part of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, technically, he threw that 60-70-yard touchdown to Hopkins last night that they couldn't challenge. So, you know, he's just been getting bad luck, too, combined with a lack of confidence. But, you know, if you watch him, he does look decent out there, and he has the right pass catchers around him to be good. It has to come together at some point.
I definitely agree, and you're the first person I've talked to who's believed that about Osweiler. I'm just waiting for it to happen. Every week in DFS, I say, he's a contrarian play. It could happen, and it hasn't happened yet, but it's coming.
Right, and I'm not talking QB1 here. I'm talking just startable in like a 2QB league. We're just going with that.
that's fair to say. Or at least making Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins more relevant than they are.
Exactly, kind of like with Simeon with DT and Sanders, you know, he's got some good pass catchers. Just, you know, help us out here.
I bet Denver still wishes they had Osweiler over Simeon because it's ugly over there.
Yeah, seriously. It's a shame. And, you know, it seems like every week I have, Sanders and DT in the top 15, but Simeon ranked 28th. And I get called out on it all the time. And I just explain they just get so much of the passing pie that it creates this lopsided ranking, between the quarterback and the two stud receivers that people don't really understand. Just they're getting most of the receiving pie.
Demaryius Thomas was great with Tim Tebow, so it doesn't really matter who's throwing the ball. The guy can play some football.
That's my go-to with him, too. Hey, he made Tim Tebow look good, so you know that's how great he is.
All right, moving over to tight ends, you've got Jason Witten in your top 10. You're one of only a handful of experts who believe in Jason Witten as a top 10 tight end this weekend. I'm moving that direction. ECR has him at 13. I've got him at 11. But why are you so high on Witten this week?
Yeah, it's hard to say, like, I'm high on Witten. I mean, the guy is one of the most unathletic, plodding guys there is.
He is ridiculous. It's like watching a dad out there playing football on Thanksgiving.
I just see them... Like I said, they're going to try to cut down on the Redskins' offense production, so they really want to use Zeke and Witten. I think they're going to use Witten to do his standard 8 catches for 7 yards type game with maybe a touchdown.
Just trot down the field, turn around, and box it out and catch the ball. It looks so easy when he does it.
Protect the football and fall down. You know, I'm not really projecting much. And I think this week, just tight ends in general, it's so close. There's just such a tight tight end one this week. And, you know, a lot remains to be seen on Gronkowski. So I think Witten's a pretty safe play this week. This game sets up to be a Witten game. And I'm not expecting too much from him. I wouldn't necessarily play him. In a standard league, he's a little bit dicier, but, you know, PPR, I think he's going to be a monster this week.
Now, everyone's really low on Lance Kendricks after he killed everybody on DFS that week against the Jets. Maybe it's just that Jeff Fisher decided, like, hey, it's working, so I'm going to stop throwing the ball. But you're high on Lance Kendricks this week after we're all really low on him. His ECR is number 23. Now, you're not telling people to start him unless it's like a really deep league. But why do you like Kendricks?
Yeah, again, I can't use the word like and Kendricks in the same sentence. But I think, you know, with Goff, we got one game under our belt with, you know, seeing what he likes to do. And he targeted Kendricks a bit. Kendricks got, you know, four catches for 38 yards. He's a guy that I could see a rookie quarterback leaning on. You know, he's a safety valve. And they're playing a Saints defense that you can pick apart. I don't see Goff just chucking it up and making this, you know, a shootout. So, again, I could see him just, you know, giving Kendricks some easy out patterns, just keep the chains moving. But, again, I don't like Kendricks to put up a huge game. But if, you know, if he starts keying on him, you know, he could put up those receiving numbers that we expected the other week against the Jets. So, I'm a little bit hesitant to really promoting him, but you could do a lot worse than him. And I think PPR, again, he could be a real sneaky play if Goff keys in on him.
Rookie quarterbacks love their tight ends, especially when their offensive line is as bad as the Rams.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
It's the easy out route. Just dump it off. And he seems to be good at, you know, the more short intermediate passes. So I could see Goff gravitating to him. And, you know, we don't really have a big enough sample to really know what Goff likes to do yet, but I'm just seeing a rookie quarterback sort of settling on tight end routes.
Now, for the tight ends that you're bearish on, I'm right there with you. Gary Barnidge, Kobe Fleener, Julius Thomas. We both have all three of them in the 20 to 30 range, and everyone else has them 16, 17, 19. So can you tell our listeners why they should give up on these three guys?
Yeah, I feel like Julius Thomas, every week I'm like minus 15 ECR, and it usually bites me with his, you know, 1 yard touchdown reception. So this week I finally got it right. He had, you know, three catches for 12 yards and didn't get his touchdown. So I look like a genius.
He hasn't been above 30 yards since week two.
It's insane. So, you know, he is the definition of a touchdown dependent tight end. Which, you know, if there were a position to kind of rely on that, tight ends the position. But, you know, I can never justify having him even remotely close to the top 15, just the way I have my projection set up. So, you know, once again, I have him 2 to 3 catches for 25 yards and, you know, what, a 30% chance of a touchdown. So he usually settles in into the, you know, outside of the top 20 for me. And you know, with Barnidge, I think Barnidge is going to get a lot of the, well, McCown's quarterback, so you got to play Barnidge narrative. But, you know, he just hasn't been the presence I had hoped in the red zone this year. So, you know, when it comes to Barnidge, my touchdown projection for him, each week has kind of gone down. So you're going to have to bank on, you know, catches and yards for him, and he hasn't done that either. This week, he finally got his first touchdown, but, you know, in the long run, I tend to not look at just, you know, what they did last week. I try to piece together the puzzle that, you know, I carry over week to week, and I just don't like Barnidge this week. Yeah, I mean, Kobe Fleener, I can't justify ever having that guy in the top 20. He's just another guy where if he does good, so be it. But you can never count or bank on Kobe Fleener anymore.
Now, for someone needing to pick up a tight end, they own one of these guys and he's their only tight end, and the tight end waiver wire is pretty bare. There's just not much talent at the position. Could you justify telling them to pick up Austin Hooper, who we know has a lot of talent, but hasn't really been utilized quite yet? Tammy's out for the season.
Yeah, no, I love Hooper. I feel like I got burned the other week. I was pretty high on him. I was pretty bold and had him like, I want to say top 10, and he really burned me. I agree with you. I think the talent's there. He could see the volume. It's just this week the Cardinals are in town, and they, they're the number one ranked defense against tight ends as far as fantasy points allowed. So I just don't like the spot for him. But In the future, maybe, you know, in the playoffs, if you're super desperate at tight end, I could definitely see that. I just don't like him this week.
Yeah, I'm not doing it this week either. He's not in my top 20 this week at the tight end position. But next week, I wouldn't be shocked if he's right there around 12, 13, 14. Because if you watch the guy play, he is really efficient when the ball's thrown his way. And I think they're going to keep throwing him the ball more and more as he progresses.
Oh, I definitely agree. I am all aboard the Hooper train starting week 13.
All right, let's talk streaming defenses here before I let you go. And there's some interesting ones this week. We've got Tennessee at Matt Barkley, which is that is really exciting. I know Tennessee has been getting shredded lately, but I'm all over that one.
Oh, yeah. No, they're a top 10 defense for me this week. That's a great spot, and they should be available. Like you said, they've been getting shredded, so I can't imagine anyone has been holding on to the Titans defense. So that's just a great spot, and there's no secret on, you know, what the Bears are going to do. They're going to try to pound it with Howard. But, you know, once the game gets out of hand, you know, you're going to have Barkley throwing it around. That's when your team defense can rack up some points. So, yeah, I love the Titans this week.
Now, of all your picks, this is the one that I am most excited to hear about. The Cincinnati Bengals, expert consensus rankings have them at number 20. You're by far the highest expert on them. You have them at number 6 at Baltimore. What are you seeing?
That's a great question. I mean, I base everything off of, you know, my analytics when it comes to defense, so I'm not really interjecting personal feelings in there, but I could see them picking Flacco off this week a couple times. You know, the defense is going to have to step up with the offense, you know, ailing right now. And Flacco is a guy I tend to key on, it seems like, with team defenses. He's a guy to key on, and I just have their interceptions pretty high. But when it comes to defense, I do focus on the points allowed, sacks, and interceptions. I think those are the most stable ones that you can actually project. So, when it comes to things like defensive touchdowns, those are really hard to project. So I tend to be pretty balance when it comes to those. So this week I'm keen on Flacco throwing a pick or two.
Now, likewise, you're really low on Seattle. Expert consensus has him number 4 against Jameis Winston. You've got him down at number 14.
Yeah. You know, Winston, he's pretty decent at controlling the ball, and I have him.
He's really improved, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I just don't think they're the kind of offense you would think where you could just key on and assume a bunch of boneheaded plays. You know, they're pretty good at keeping the ball, and we'll need to see if Bennett's out again this week. But, you know, on the road, the Seattle defense, they're just a little bit, you know, average in my book. So I just don't have them being, you know, a defensive one for this week. I just don't like the matchup for them, and they probably won't sack Winston more than, say, 2 times. They're a defense that, you know, they're going to have to rely on getting more turnover-based points, and I don't like relying on those.
Jameis Winston's kind of gone under the radar this season. I don't think people realize just how good he's been. If you look at his game log, I mean, he's had 2 rough games at Arizona and against Denver, and besides that, he's been incredibly consistent. He's been running the ball, so he's got a nice little floor there. He's piling up the yards, 300, 300, 269, 405. I mean, it's all over the place. He's getting plenty of touchdown passes in there. So I think Jameis Winston is a tough matchup, and especially now that you add Doug Martin into the mix where they can't just sit back and in nickel and dime coverage. And it's a different kind of matchup than people are thinking it is. And I think Seattle's going to have a hard time. Now, I still have him in my top 10, but I do not fault you at all for having him at number 14. It's a bold call, and I like it.
Yeah, like I said, it's all about I'm pretty much a Winston believer. So that's what it stems to. And I agree that the rushing stats that he's been putting up have been improving. If there's one thing I can get on him a little bit about is the rushing touchdowns aren't there as much as last year, but I guess when you lose, I think he lost, 10 pounds in the offseason. I think he's kind of sacrificing it to, you know, be a little more mobile, but it kind of took away from his goal line carries, which sucks a little bit. But yeah, overall, fantastic season. I think he's constantly overlooked. So when it comes to, you know, just streaming the Seahawks defense, I'd be careful about that this week.
And remember about Jameis, he gets the New Orleans Saints twice in the fantasy playoffs. So make sure you can get him on your team if you have a chance right now.
Yes, Evans as well.
Sean, before I let you go, there's four good young quarterbacks in the NFL. Jameis is one of them. Marcus Mariota, who's been tearing it up lately against kind of a cupcake schedule. Dak Prescott, who we mentioned, is very consistent. And then you've got Derek Carr. If you're starting your NFL franchise today, which of these four quarterbacks do you want the most?
Oh, boy. I would say Derek Carr. Just his leadership alone. Obviously, his play on the field is great. I just think he embodies what I want in a quarterback in being a leader, a team leader. Obviously, the other guys are just athletic freaks and really talented. I just think I would want Derek Carr leading my team with 2 minutes left.
I think Dak Prescott's kind of a product of the offensive line. So for me, it comes down to it's Derek Carr or it's Marcus Mariota. And I like Mariota just a little bit more. But, man, it is close. We have some exciting young quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, no, it's great to see. Mariota has just blown me away this year. He is just absolutely incredible.
He keeps doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I loved him coming in. And I thought I was pretty high on my expectations for him. And he's blown those away.
And his wide receivers are not impressive either.
No, exactly. So, you know, he's doing it with this supporting cast, so it's pretty incredible to see.
All right, well, that's all the questions we have for you this week, Sean. Really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And for those of you listening, we've got one more show coming up. It's with Jared Cord of FantasyCrunchers.com to talk about DFS tomorrow, so make sure to listen, and please subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.